You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Welcome into Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host of Family Talk. You know, as a licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, I'm honored to serve with Dr. Dobson and as resident authority on mental health and relationships here at JDFI. I also serve as president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. Now, thank you for joining us on this edition of Family Talk. And welcome to Back to School Week here on the program. Dr. Dobson and I prepared a special lineup of interviews and programs this week to speak to and hopefully encourage those who are preparing to go back to school over the next couple of weeks, from kindergarten to college. Now, we want to help you transition well. There are a lot of moving parts for moms and dads at this time of the year, from school supplies, packing lunches, sign-up forms to be signed, paying tuition, no matter what it is. Take a breath, take it in, and just be present. Mom, Dad, you got this. And in the famous line of that country music song, it won't be like this for long. Well, I think today's show is going to enlighten you to what is possible on the spiritual side of going back to school. You may remember or know about June 25th, 1962, when the Supreme Court ruled that school-sponsored prayers were unconstitutional in a landmark case, Engel versus Vitale. 60 years later, biblical truth seems to be eradicated from the public school system. The Bible used to be used as a reader. Now it's considered highly controversial, even hateful by some. But did you know that by law, Christians have the ability to bring biblical teaching and the gospel to school-aged youth who attend public schools during the school day? Well, it is a fact, and our guest today on Family Talk is here to tell us about how we as concerned Christian members of a community and parents can bring the Bible to children in our local public schools. Her name, Corey Pennypacker. Corey serves as CEO of Bible to School, which is a program that provides free elective Bible classes to public school children during the school day. The children walk or are bused to a nearby church or partner location where trained volunteers engage the children in lively worship and Bible studies. Children and volunteers discuss how they can apply the Bible lessons in their lives and pray together. Corey is going to be telling us about Bible to School on today's program. She brings over 20 years of children's ministry and leadership experience to her position. Corey, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Family Talk. Dr. Dobson sends his regards.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Tim. Dr. Dobson is near and dear to my heart because I am a former Navy wife and my husband was out to sea when my three boys were young. And Dr. Dobson got me through. Man, I listened every week. He is amazing. He helped parent my boys. He doesn't know it, though.
Corey, I hear that story so many times over. It's just amazing how God's used the ministry, Dr. Dobson, through the years, and to strengthen all of our families. Corey, you and I first met at an Extraordinary Women conference. My wife, Julie, is the president of an organization called Extraordinary Women. They host conferences around the country. You and I met in Pensacola, Florida. When I saw your curriculum, you were sponsoring the event. You and I got a few moments to really talk through what God's doing in and through Bible to School. And Corey, I want you to just take us back for a moment. Tell us what Bible to School is all about, who founded it, and why.
Well, Bible to School was founded by a group of pastors in a small town called Manheim, Pennsylvania. And they actually were responding to a call to having children learn about God when there was divorce back then in 1979. And some kids were going to different parents' houses and they weren't able to, a small percentage of them were not able to get to church. So they based it on this release time law, this release time federal court ruling that you were discussing, and you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to take kids out of school in the middle of a school day to teach them about religious training of their choice. It could be Muslim, it could be Jewish. There's a big Jewish facet in New York, but Bible to School started with non-denominational Christian teaching, and it's going strong now. Definitely.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Corey, when you really think about God's word for a second, and kids growing up, the thing that has most people's attention, especially like when kids go off to college, mm-hmm. is their lack of biblical understanding, wisdom. Biblical illiteracy is kind of like off the charts. But, you know, it's interesting, too, when you talk to people, I love to ask people, what's your favorite Bible verse? And you know what? They'll sit there for a moment. And usually they'll go back to when they were a kid, maybe vacation Bible school or something, and they were taught verses. They had to do memory, scripture memory. I remember my mom teaching in VBS and forcing all of us to learn scriptures that got lodged deep in my heart. Or people, usually when they're going through a dark season, God gives them a verse of scripture that they hold on to. And it means the world to them, doesn't it?
It does. I have scripture myself where I know that the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's my verse. But kids today, though, Dr. Tim, is they do not have that framework. They do not have that foundation. We have kids that don't even know. Every week ask us, who's God? I've never heard of him. And that just breaks our heart because kids don't even know who God is, let alone the Bible, let alone his holy word. And we talk about God's word being God's text message to us. And so kids get that. They're like, oh, God's text message to us. Yeah, here it is. He loves us and he wants us to know him. And we know him through his word.
You know, Corey, as you were quoting Jeremiah 29:11, that's my wife Julie's favorite verse. My heart started resonating with Psalm 46, verse 1, Elohim God. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a present help during times of trouble. Verse 2 there is, therefore we won't fear, though the earth be removed and mountains basically are cast into the depths of the sea. Tim, he's in the midst of it. And you keep going through it. He's in the midst of it. He's in the midst of it. Scripture does something.
Right.
You know, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Joshua 1:8, I just penned this down. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And I think through the years how I've been driven back to the scriptures, especially during tough times, dark seasons. And it's the scripture. It's the Bible. No wonder, you know, when you think about the role of moms and you think about children and those early developmental years, how important it is to get the Word of God into their hearts.
Well, it's hope and it's truth. And aren't we all looking for hope and truth, not only in times of trouble or just to like live our lives, but always. We're always looking for that. And it's so calming and gives us such inner peace around the chaos around us. And kids have chaos too. They're absorbing a lot in this world. And so the Bible has the same effect on them when they hear the word of God. Our school teachers tell us that kids come back from Bible to school program calmer, more confident, and relieved that someone else is in control. You know, God is in control, and we don't have to worry about it. So their worries and anxieties come down a bit, just like ours do when we state just the verses you just said. My heart was going too, and just calming when you were saying those verses.
Yeah. Corey, Bible to school programs. We know the Bible. Well, God got kicked out of school back in the early 60s when they took prayer out of schools. And people think, well, you're not allowed to have the Bible there, etc. But you guys have gotten innovative. You've gotten creative. And you have this program, and I want to talk more about it. But what I found interesting was people or the children who are attending these programs now, these Bible to school programs, 60% of them who attend, they don't even have a church home.
No, we're many times telling them about God for the very first time. And I think about the little boy named Gabriel, and this was something that always gets me. He was a little boy, blonde, blue-eyed, curly hair, and his grandmother was raising him, like a lot of kids nowadays, their grandparents are raising them. And he did not know anything about God. He came during over lunch and recess. We have this program, and he came once a week, and he accepted Christ as his Savior one day. And he came back to me, and I said, "Well, Gabriel, this is so awesome. You accepted Christ as your Savior. He's in your life forever now." And he said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "Well, tell me about that." And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I've always wanted to know how to get to heaven, but no one's ever told me." I get choked up every time I think about that, because these kids are in our neighborhoods. These kids play with our kids. They play with our grandkids. They are not very far from us, and they don't know who God is in our culture. So it definitely is something that is very needed, and they're hungry for it. They want it. They want to know. They want to know who made them and who loves them.
This Bible to School program, again, is a program for public school systems, and you want people to know that you have a right to work this into your local community, your local school system. There's a way to get this done. How many schools are currently engaged with the Bible to School program, Corey?
We have 30-plus schools across Pennsylvania right now. We have interest in New York and Florida and Minnesota. We have 10 other states that are talking to us. So it is definitely a movement happening, because like you said, it's the best kept secret in America that you can, I hear people say it all the time, "Oh, God, they took God out of schools." I'm like, no, they didn't. We can put him right back in. We just got to do it legally. And the way to do it legally is through, like we said, this federal release time ruling.
And what does that mean?
That means that, it was actually in 1914 is when they actually took the Bible totally out of school. And politicians at that time said, "Well, you know, kids are mind, body, and soul. So, you know what? We're going to take that spiritual part and give it to the community." Hence, you release them off a school campus so that the community can teach them about spiritual truths. So that's actually what was happening. What you were saying in the 60s is when they took prayer out of school. But in 1952, there was a Supreme Court ruling that it upheld release time, that you can do this. It was challenged. Zorak versus Clausen. And I tell you what, from then on, people started using this release time. But there's 53 million public school kids right now, and only 2,000 or 3,000 of these programs anywhere in the United States right now. So that's why we said, hey, we want to make this easy for people. So that's why we got involved.
So in other words, there's a federal law.
Yes.
That says release time can be used for like a Bible to School program. And what you have to do is the stipulations related to release time can't be held at the public school, right? So the children have to go to another place.
Right, like a church or a youth center, they walk or they are bused off site. Mm-hmm.
They have to. Students have to have parental permission to participate.
Parental permission,
right?
And then it can't cost the taxpayer any money. So yeah, off site, parental permission, and no tax dollars, and you are legal. Each state might have a little tweak to that. Like in Pennsylvania, you can only do it up to 36 hours a year. In Ohio and South Carolina, the school boards have to approve a release time to be put in there. So there is a little tweak to it in different states, but all 50 states can do this.
Corey, I'm curious, is this like when they have playtime, when they're outside, like recess time or something?
It can be any instructional time during the day. It could be any time. I know some that do it at the last period of the day. I know some other programs that do it in the middle of the day or at the end or the beginning of the day. We choose, when you do Bible to School, we choose to do it over lunch and recess and in kind of in the middle of the day, preferably, because there's so much that the kids have to miss and you don't want that. So we kind of partner with the school and say, we could do this any time of the day, but we're going to take them and take their lunches with them and come off site to the church down the street, and we're going to teach them the Bible. And it's 1 hour, and that includes travel time. So that's 10 minutes walking and 10 minutes walking back. So our program is that we've designed is 40 minutes long. and you know a lot, you've written books and all that kind of stuff. It's harder to condense things than it is to have a 2 or 3 hour program. So we try to get the most important things, like you just talked about, the basics of who God is and what the Bible is and what the Bible is telling us in our lessons.
So I'm assuming then there's a full curriculum that's been developed and you have a plan that you help parents work through to see Bible to school operationalized in their communities, in their churches, in their schools.
Yes, we serve second, third, and fourth graders. So we equip parents in their communities. It could be moms, dads, grandparents. We have them build a team first. And because we know that it takes the teams to do things. It takes the body of Christ to do things. So we have them build these teams and then implement this program. And it's second grade Old Testament, third grade New Testament, and fourth grade discipleship. And it's very VBS-like. If you can remember, if people know what VBS is, fun and science experiments, and we teach them with games, and we teach them with dressing up as the Bible characters, and we have Jonah and the whale, and we have a big blow-up 30-foot giant whale with, you know, gardening paper, duct tape, and a fan, and we teach you how to do things simply. Kids love simple things, and they don't know any better. But man, you go inside the belly of the whale with the whole class, and the public school teachers are like, wow, our kids went inside the belly of the whale. And we say, yeah, they really did go inside the belly of a whale. But then they go into small group, and that's where the small group leaders come in. And the think about it question for the day on Jonah is, how does God give second chances? And they have a bucket of ice water, and the kids put their hands in it because Jonah was thrown into cold water. And so they put their hands in it and see how long they can keep it in. And the boys love this. And then they get a blubber glove. It is a double rubber glove with Crisco lard in the middle. And they get this blubber glove on, and then they put their hand in the water, and they can see, touch, and feel how God gave Jonah a second chance. And then we ask questions like, how does God give you second chances? And so we have these amazing discussions with the kids. We teach these communities how to do this. And it's a safe place for kids in the middle of the week, in the middle of a school day, to talk about God and ask spiritual questions. And man, you're a counselor. You know they ask really great questions.
They do. My mother was an amazing Bible teacher, Corey. Mm. She would teach VBS, Vacation Bible School, and she always did the story hour. Mm-hmm. And my mother used flannel graph boards, and she would post characters up there. She was so good at it, Corey. Every kid in the town would come to Vacation Bible School just to hear her teach these stories. And she was mesmerizing. When you make the Bible come alive, those things, again, really get locked into the heart. You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Again, our special in-studio guest, Corey Pennypacker, CEO of Bible to School, talking about a fascinating program that they're launching, well, that's been around for a long time, about 30 years now, and it really is starting to get traction, especially in today's culture and environment. Corey, I want to go back to you and just talk about how you got involved. I heard that you got involved as a volunteer.
I did.
And you told that story earlier, but do you have any other stories that really resonate with your heart that God's kind of used to help you sow good seed with this program?
Yes, there was one of my favorite stories as I got involved, and you get a lot of God stories when you're working with these children and giving them the Word of God, is that there was a question about how does God answer prayer? And we have a stoplight that we use, and we say, you know, yes, God answers prayer. Sometimes He says green, yes. Sometimes He says red, no. And sometimes He says yellow, wait. And this little boy raised his hand, a big smile on his face, and he said, I'm yellow, I'm yellow. And I said, what do you mean you're yellow? And he said, my mom's in jail, and I know that God's going to bring her back to me, so I'm waiting, and I'm yellow. And I thought, wow, these kids, even adults, don't get the answers to prayer and what that's like. And these kids are getting it with childlike faith. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Corey, I love those stories. My wife would say this, Tim, be sure and ask her, is there really a market? I mean, do parents send their kids to these programs? These are second, third, fourth graders in public school systems.
Right.
Will they send their kids to this?
Well, It's the big thing we found is that it's convenient. It's in the middle of the day. So if your kid's going to school, they're going to Bible to school and they don't have to pick them up or drop them off. And they're thankful that we're there and that their neighbors and their friends are pitching in and teaching their kids the Bible. And we love equipping them to do that.
And the school systems are receptive?
Well, at first, they're like, what is this? And let me talk to our solicitor, you know, what is it? And but we equip these moms and dads to come in with so much information. We want you to stay in your legal lane. We want the public school to stay in their legal lane. And it's a beautiful partnership. In fact, we have superintendents and principals that rave about us. And one principal called us and said, wait a minute, why isn't my school have this? You're in the school next door, district next door, why aren't you in my school? And she was kind of upset. And so it is, they recognize these school administrators want the best for the kids. And they know that we can help them and be more positive influences on children from the community. And that's very helpful to children, to have as many positive adults around them as they can.
Corey, I know we're fighting time, but I wanted to highlight a couple of pieces. So you have put together an entire curriculum, and what you do is you even tell those who are interested in starting a program like this in their local public school, second, third, fourth grade, the team of people that you need, like a champion for your Bible to school program, a pastor, parent, business leader, people can help fund this because there are some costs associated with this.
Right.
Someone who does some networking, maybe someone who can talk to the schools. You also talk about a four-step process for launching a Bible to school program. Can you just highlight a couple of those pieces real quick for us?
Sure. We have them build their team first. And then once they build their team of those four people, of the pastor, the parent in the school, the networker, the business Christian business leader, then we give them the actual toolbox because we have all the best practices. We have all the student registration templates. We have all what all you should buy. It's just a plug and play, just like a franchise model, if you will. And we also give them a website. So right away, they can accept online student registration, and they can accept online donations. So we're really setting them up for their own little program, and it's totally done by the community. And we equip them on every level and let the body of Christ in your community do this program. But we have all the tools for them.
You know, we've got such admiration for people and organizations like you, Corey, and what you all are doing, Bible Back to School. As you were talking, I just wrote down in my notes 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And I love this. Paul wrote these words, that the man or woman of God, that the child of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, here's your life plan. This is what you need to anchor yourself in. And I was thinking about and reflecting on the temptation of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit of God, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, hungry. The tempter comes to him and says, hey, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And what was Jesus' response? It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's a beautiful piece. And how much we need God's word in our everyday life. And it needs to start early and young. If people want to learn more information about Bible to School, where do they go, Corey?
They go to our website, BibleToSchool.com. And that's Bible, the number two, school.com. And I have one more God story I'd love to share. It's from this summer. And there was a volunteer who was out in his yard, and his neighbor came over and said, hey, I didn't know you were a volunteer. My kids go to Bible to school, and they come home and they love it. But I don't know about God. Will you teach me? I thought, this is the family, not just the children need the scripture you're talking about, but the whole family needs it, and I need it too. I know it's just a wonderful thing that we have God's word that we can hide in our hearts.
Our special guest today again has been Corey Pennypacker. She's the CEO of Bible to School, fascinating project God's using to really impact public schools all across the country, where we can bring God's word back to school. Corey, such a delight to have you. On behalf of Dr. Dobbs and his wife Shirley, the entire team here at Family Talk, we salute you. Pray that God would continue to lead and bless all your efforts. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a privilege.
You've been listening to Family Talk, and that was Dr. Tim Clinton's recent interview with Corey Pennypacker, CEO of Bible to School. I'm Roger Marsh, and as you heard in today's conversation, Bible to School is an innovative program that equips Christians to bring the hope of the gospel to school-aged children in their communities. What an incredible opportunity to reach kids for Christ. Now, if you've been praying about a way to reach kids in your community with the gospel, Bible to School just might be the perfect avenue to get started. To learn more about Corey Pennypacker and Bible to School, visit drjamesdobson.org/family talk. That's drjamesdobson.org/family talk. Or give us a call at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Well, it is back to school week here at Family Talk, and all week long we'll be sharing encouraging programming to help you as you get back into the swing of things this school year. Make sure you listen in all week long. Until next time, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.